This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Which NFL coach is entering the season on the hot seat? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad that Perloff is back from Costa Rica. Well-deserved vacation. You look healthy. You look less pale.
That will go
it's
away.
A minor miracle.
That will go away in about 3 days. I'm already falling into all these bad habits. You know, you go away on vacation and you eat healthy and you go for runs on the beach. That's a long time ago.
That's funny. I have the opposite when I'm on vacation. That's when I'm eating dessert, probably drinking a little bit more, not working out as much, and then I get back home, and that's when I get back to my healthier routines. That's funny that you and I are so different about that.
Yeah, well, I do actually, I don't eat a lot of sugar. I did eat a lot of sugar in Costa Rica. You mentioned last segment, actually, how you love milkshakes. So
yeah.
I kept ordering smoothies, which are basically milkshakes, because they just put a ton of frozen vanilla yogurt and fresh fruit, and I got to tell you, it's heaven on earth. In fact, now you got me thinking about milkshakes so badly right now, Maggie. And what did you describe? There were like whipped cream on top of the milkshake?
I know. Perloff now going to be on an all smoothie diet. We'll get to NFL coaches on the hot seat in just 1 second. But yeah, no, I mentioned last segment that I had a milkshake for the first time in a really long time. Because I've said before, I don't really love the texture of ice cream so much. Like flan, stuff like that is not really my thing. But this milkshake that we had at a diner on Saturday night with my family was vanilla, whipped cream, sprinkles. I felt like it was my birthday or something, and it's far from. So I'm back on the milkshake bandwagon. But anyway, let's get to coaches. Perloff, I know we still have the combine. We've got the draft, free agency. There's a lot to go here in the NFL offseason. But if you're looking at a coach who you think enters the season on the hot seat, who is that gentleman?
Okay, I mean, there's a bunch of guys who are in trouble, probably. But to me, the most important hot seat right now is in Cleveland with Kevin Stefanski. Because here's the thing. A lot of the coaches are on the hot seat are unproven or just not that good. Like, who knows about Brian Callahan in Tennessee. But Kevin Stefanski is a really good coach, runs a really good offense, and has been put in an impossible situation. Because they put all their resources into Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson is probably not going to play this year because of his Achilles. So now they're in a position, he's either going to have a rookie quarterback that they'll take with number two, or they're going to say, you know what, we don't want to take one of these quarterbacks. We're going to do some kind of bridge quarterback. So he's got to find a way to win in this situation right now because Cleveland is not going to give him any more chances. How do you win out of that situation? It's almost impossible. It's definitely the front office's fault, not Kevin Stefanski's fault. But I think that they're going to tire of him unless they have a winning record. I mean, at least 9-8, Maggie. And I see it's going to be hard in that division for him to get to 9-8.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say that Stefanski has no, like, there's no proverbial blood on his hands about the Deshaun Watson thing, because they were all very in this together. And I know the head coach probably can't tell the owner, hey, I don't know about this guy. But let's be fair, like, they all stood up there and they all said that they wanted Watson and they were happy and comfortable with everything he had to say. And so they're all going to wear it, except for the ownership, obviously, well, who never wears it.
Why would the coach wear that? I see what you're saying, but like they have a very strong GM. They have a strong, they have John DePodesta, the guy that Jonah Hill played in Moneyball. They have a strong front office. I'm not sure that's fair to put on the coach. Like, and also a very interventionist owner. Like, you're putting all that on Stefanski. You think he's, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I thought about more of him as a victim here.
I don't see it. The other part, too, is why wasn't Deshaun Watson better under Stefanski? Now, he was hurt a lot, and he has continued to be hurt. But even when he was playing, yeah, they may have won some games, Pearl, but he didn't look anywhere close to what he was. I mean, are we forgetting already that Deshaun Watson was thought of as maybe a top five quarterback in the league when he was with the Houston Texans? He never got anywhere close to that. Injuries obviously set him back, but does Stefanski not wear any of that? Shouldn't he have looked great when he was healthy and at full strength?
He played six games in 2022, six games in 2023, and seven games last year. And by the way, one, I think at least he might have had a winning record under Stefanski. You know he doesn't wear it because Joe Flacco came out and looked like, I don't know, Tom Brady when he was under. You know Stefanski can run a good offense because when Watson sat, some of his backups did really well. That's why he doesn't wear it. You know, you saw Flacco. Like, you know Stefanski can run a good offense. So I think Deshaun Watson just didn't have time to get comfortable.
Well, or maybe he can only, you know, never really could unlock, you know, what Deshaun Watson could do. So Deshaun Watson, 3-3 his first year, 5-1 the second year, so starting to get better, and then 1-6 in 2024. If you're looking at his quarterback record overall in Cleveland, is 9-10-0.
Right, so I think it's hard for me to blame Stefanski because he didn't really have any time with him. Like, how can you unlock him when he's only playing and he's hurt in a lot of those games too? He's not fully healthy. The 5-1 was deceiving too. Watson did not really play like 5-1
football.
He didn't
play that great.
Yeah, he had one great game towards the right before he got hurt. I think it was 2023 against the Ravens. He had a really good game, but I don't know if you judge Stefanski on that. I think if you're in pro Stefanski, you look at Flacco and say that was great. Now, Jameis also had some good games last year. For what it's worth.
Yeah, well, Jameis is an adventure. But the other part too about Stefanski, we're talking about coaches who are entering next NFL season already on the hot seat. Does it not reflect on Stefanski as the head coach that Myles Garrett's asking for a trade?
No.
You know, I know Stefanski is always the offensive guy, but you don't think that, isn't it also part of the coach's job to try to manage egos and things like that?
I mean, I don't know. No, I don't blame Stefanski for that. I mean, it's Myles Garrett. Of course he wants out. That team has been terrible last year they were awful. I totally get it. No, I don't think that's on him. And also, Myles Garrett, who knows if that's more about Myles Garrett than Stefanski? I don't know. I actually, when Garrett made that trade demand, I never heard anyone say, oh, this is Stefanski's job to rein him in. That feels a little thin to me, too. Like, Kevin Stefanski's one of those coaches who runs a great offense. Like, I can't put that on him. And if that's what you want, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he should be more like Bill Parcells on, like, the strong leader type. But I think that's the least of their problems. And Myles Garrett, by the way, they're not trading him. Like, are they? Do you think that's ever going to happen?
I'm not sure, but I know that it doesn't bode well for anybody in charge when your best player is saying, I want to get the hell out of here because I don't want to be part of a rebuild or any of that. And I think that, you can be an offensive-minded coach, but you're still the head coach.
Yeah, but so your quarterback got hurt, and your best player got hurt. Like in week one, Nick Chubb your best weapon got hurt in Nick Chubb, and your O-line just disappeared. Like, everybody was hurt last year. I don't know. I think Stefanski's a really good play caller, and I think he'll land on his feet after Cleveland.
855-212-4227. We're asking which NFL coach enters the season on the hot seat. You know, for me, it's got to be our pal in Miami, Mike McDaniel. You know, again, a quarterback who's dealt with a lot of injuries. So you don't want to say, wow, like it's totally his fault because Tua looks all time when he actually has like a healthy, you know, when he is healthy, he can deliver the football. It's never about that. But I just don't know if McDaniel is wearing thin a little bit with the organization. You know, you have Tyreek Hill out there asking for trades, kind of walked it back a little bit after the season. It's not like you haven't spent money. This is a team that is near the top of the cap. Now, you could say, did they spend it wisely? I don't know. But on paper, they actually do have some talent. It's names you know who are playing for the Miami Dolphins. And they just cannot make this work. And again, a lot of it's Tua, and maybe they should have never paid him considering his injury history. But I think you have an owner that's really, you know, impatient. Someone who wanted Sean Payton and Tom Brady and is now here with Mike McDaniel. I can see the GM being on the hot seat, Chris Greer, and I can also see Mike McDaniel be on the hot seat. And I'm going to tell you another thing, and maybe this might not be fair because I know McDaniel's kind of a quirky guy, but the getup and the costume that it looks like he's wearing, I know this is like his look now, but the glasses and the hair and the clothes, I don't think he's helping himself because that stuff works well when you're winning, I guess. You can wear Bill Belichick's cutoff hoodie. But when you're not, you look a little like it's playing dress-up, like you're trying to look like some kind of Miami kingpin, and it's not you, dude. So, or it doesn't seem like it's you. So it looks a little inauthentic and a little silly, and, you know, this is a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 2 decades or more, so I think Mike McDaniel could be in some trouble.
Ooh, I don't know about... yeah, I agree he's in trouble, but you think it's inauthentic. But this is a guy, there's a video of him when he was a ball boy for the Broncos with 2 huge earrings. He's always gone against the grain in NFL style. And also, he's vaped on the sideline. Like, I think that's who he is. I think the capri pants and all the weird stuff, I'm not sure that's... You think he's being disingenuous and trying to get this kingpin look? He's always been a little cutting edge fashion-wise.
Okay, but he didn't look like that when he was getting the job in Miami. So maybe he wasn't being authentic when he was hired for the job, and now the real Mike McDaniel's coming out. Either way, feels like a bit of a disconnect. I know I'm going with something that seems a little like frivolous or like who cares how a coach dresses, but I do think some point, what are you projecting out there? And I'm not saying you have to be, you know, conservative or whatever to win games, but you do look a little silly when you're going 8-9.
Well, now, that's the thing. Like, are you blaming him for that, though? Because that team hasn't won in forever. In fact, they're better with him than they've been in a long time. Like, they have done nothing in 30 years. So isn't that on the front office as well, Maggie?
It is. But, you know, to be honest, like, you know, Mike McDaniel is supposed to be this real innovator, and he hasn't gotten any further in the playoffs than Adam Gase did with the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, where, like, we've seen what it can be when it's working like at the top, which is Tua throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and it's awesome. But any coach could coach that. I strongly believe, well, maybe not Brian Flores, but Tua? A lot of offensive coaches could coach that. And I don't think Tua is like gives you nothing. Like when he's healthy, he can deliver the football, the arm strength is there, all that. So it's what happens when things are not going perfectly. And I think Mike McDaniel is in some trouble here. Can I give you another guy who might be in trouble?
By the way, one thing about the Dolphins, if they had not signed Tua and they could get Stafford in there, oh my God, would that have been a game changer? To me, this is 100% front office. And McDaniel's not perfect either. But give me another one.
No, you're right. Stafford, what a beautiful landing spot that would be, right? Just like, that would be a chef's kiss.
But as you start out, they paid Tua, which I understand why they did it, but that was a mistake.
Yeah, maybe there's something with like insurance money, or if he can't play, maybe they need like a better backup than what they've had. But that's going down a rabbit hole. We're talking about coaches who enter on the hot seat. And as I'm sitting here in the New Jersey headquarters for me today, I'm in my closet doing the show because I'm feeling under the weather and I don't want to get anyone sick. All my Buffalo Bills stuff that's behind me, the Jim Kelly signed picture, all my Bills t-shirts. Can I give you a little Sean McDermott on the hot seat for totally different reasons than these guys? And it's not underachieving where you can't get past the wild card game, but it's underachieving that you cannot beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think Sean McDermott, you know, I don't think the Super Bowl was good for him. Let's put it that way. Now, the Bills didn't have the defense that your Philadelphia Eagles had, Perloff. You guys had dogs on that defense, and clearly they were coached up and had a phenomenal game plan against Kansas City. But you and I talked about it. Man, that was not good for Buffalo.
Yeah.
The fact that Kansas City got smacked around like they did in the Super Bowl and the Bills couldn't beat this version of the Chiefs, which looked like they were very vulnerable, I don't think that bodes well for Sean McDermott.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean, and let's be full disclosure here. You've been kind of wondering about, not wondering, but asking, is this the right guy for the team for 2 or 3 years now?
Well, and also our pal Warren Sharp, who's very smart on social media, posting a lot of football things that we might have thought about, was posting some stuff about Josh Allen over the weekend and how well he's played in playoff games. he can't be any more efficient. Like, it's historic in some of the ways. He's not the problem.
Yeah, but he's facing some prevent defense, because if you can't stop anybody, it's not that hard for your quarterback to get some nice looks. To be fair, like, Kansas City didn't even have a good offense this year, and they rolled your Bills in the playoffs.
I like doing it, well, baby!
McDermott's the defensive guy.
I know
they got rid of some names on the defense, and so they were rebuilding a bit, but I mean, still, for totally different reasons than Mike McDaniel and Kevin Stefanski, I think that Sean McDermott could be on the hot seat. And I've been thinking about it. I wanted them to get Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I wanted them to go full court press on Harbaugh when he was obviously wanted to leave Michigan, and you know, they weren't going to do it at that time because McDermott was still winning. But it's one of those, like Mike Tomlin a little bit, where you're sort of in this middle ground. You're winning enough to be relevant and be a contender, but do you actually have the right guy to take you over the top? And at least Mike Tomlin has actually won a Super Bowl. There's proof of concept there.
Maybe an apt comparison be Marty Schottenheimer with the Chargers, where he
could.
But that being said, like, that's a Hall of Fame level coach. And I think it's funny. We were talking about McDermott a lot last year. There are some NFL coaches who really, really respect him. Like, some people think he's a top five coach in the NFL. And his playoff, I mean, he beat a much better Ravens team, right? In the playoffs this year. I know that Andrews had something to do with that, but that Ravens team was way more talented than your Bills team and found a way to win that game. So I understand what you're saying. You're right. He doesn't seem to be able to get them over the top, but I think I view him it's a little like Nick Sirianni. Maybe there's something going on there that we don't totally understand. That's all I will say. And McDermott is also from the Philadelphia Eagles tree as well. So I feel like there might be a quality there that gets you to be a good team. So that is something. I don't think you throw that out the window.
No, listen, the team plays hard for
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
But are they playing hard for Sean? Are they playing hard for Josh?
Well, I don't know. I do think, again, like, it's very Sirianni-esque. Like, I don't know exactly what you do around here. Right? You're the defensive genius, and yet your defense looked terrible. And by the way, like, Josh is good, but like, is he so good that like he's gonna be able to carry a team? Like, there must be something going on where that team is playing hard around him. He's like, they don't even have names, like, except for Josh Allen. Who are the stars you're pointing to? How many Pro Bowlers are there?
Exactly. You're asking how good is Josh Allen? He's elevating.
But how do you know it's not the coach?
Offense.
How do you know it's not the coach that everybody's playing really well for? And the fact that they haven't had to rebuild as the defense got older. I mean, McDermott was, nobody had any expectations for him last year. He could have been coach of the year.
But yet he's never in the conversation for coach of the year.
We neither was Belichick. So, I mean,
at least Belichick won a couple. But here's the thing. It's very rare for coaches who have been in the place that they're at for as long as Sean McDermott has been there and to finally rip off the first Super Bowl. It, like, never happens. And you live this with Andy Reid all those years in Philadelphia. 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think. An NFL coach who's entering the season already on the hot seat. What do you think? Also, Perloff, while he was relaxing, air quotes, in Costa Rica last week, fighting off poisonous snakes, crocodiles, and basically doing an Indiana Jones impersonation, he did have time to listen to the show and had a lot of issues with what we talked about last week. So we'll get another installment of what got Perloff mad while he was on vacation. We'll do that next. It's M&P.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie at the home studio. I came off a very healthy week in Costa Rica. Maggie has a little cold. I apologize for that. We're doing Coaches on the Hot Seat. I went with Cleveland's Kevin Stefanski. Maggie went with Miami's Mike McDaniel. We'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Tyler in West Virginia, who has one who I wish I had done. Tyler, what do you got?
Hey, Perloff, just thinking that keeping it within the same division, you've got a guy in Cincinnati named Zach Taylor, and continuous slow starts to each year, and a failure to maximize this young core, which now, this offseason, are they going to be able to sign everyone? I don't really know, but it's unacceptable, and with the firing of all the coordinators around him, it's on him this year.
Well, can't you blame the defense, though, Tyler? I mean, that's, again, I'm not saying this, but people would say Zach's an offensive guy and the defense stunk last year.
Of course, but now that you've gotten your guy with Anarumo out and you're going to hopefully replace guys, I mean, it was unacceptable to let DJ Reader go. And I think you saw that a lot last year, that there was no interior pressure. And, you know, I think Sam Hubbard's gone this year, so can they pair somebody up with Trey Hendrickson on the other side?
A great question.
Yeah,
thanks, Tyler.
Ty, thanks for the call. I'm glad you said it, because this goes back to Perloff and I think we'll always disagree about whether an offensive-minded head coach also has to take ownership for the defense. And, you know, it worked for a little bit of letting Lou Anarumo, the defense coordinator, who seemed to have the secret sauce for Patrick Mahomes, well, they got him out of there. So I do think that the head coach should have to wear everything because it's their operation. And what's borderline criminal for the Cincinnati Bengals is you had a fully healthy Joe Burrow this year, 17 starts, threw for nearly 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns. He was, you know, that led the NFL. He's in the MVP conversation, Perloff, and they're turning in a 9-8 record. Like, this is an abomination. You cannot waste these really good years from Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but, I mean, a couple of those losses were on Burrow. He had a couple late-game mistakes early in the season. I hear you, but first of all, T. Higgins was in and out. The defense was just awful, though. How can you ignore that? And I guess, forget about, like, the Burrow part of it. Like, yes, it's on Zach Taylor, but can you blame him for putting all his faith in Lou Anarumo? That's the only guy who's ever saw Patrick Mahomes, in the, except for the Eagles now and the Bucs in 2020. But I understand like what Zach Taylor was thinking. Like, I would not have been interventionist if Lou Anarumo was my defensive coordinator. I think, again, I think he's like Sean McDermott. He's just a little bit underrated. You don't have that kind of success, get to the Super Bowl, almost win, get to the AFC title game and battle Mahomes to the last second if you're not good in some sense. Now, I do think that the great question, is there a limit for good coaches? Like, will he get them over the hump? But again, I think he's throwing the baby out with the bathwater looking at last year. I don't know if Joe Burrow gets better because Zach Taylor leaves.
Well, I just ask you, which way is it going? You know, you had, they lost the Super Bowl, then they lost in the conference championship, then they came in last place in the division, and this year they came in second to last place. And again, fully healthy Burrow this year. So you don't love where it's trending, that's for sure. So yeah, Zach Taylor is certainly someone to keep an eye on. You got to get the sense that Burrow kind of holds his fate in his hands. And one other quick thing about the Bengals before we get to something that made you mad last week is they should stop lying to Joe Burrow that they're going to be able to sign all these guys. I think this is messing around with him, you know, that they're going to sign Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson. I don't think the Bengals are going to be able to do that. I think they've shown in the past that they will not do that. This is not Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. This is not the Rams. So I think they're maybe stringing Joe Burrow along here and setting up the fan base, not just their quarterback, for a disappointing offseason, but that's just me. 855-212-4227. All right, Perloff, you're in Costa Rica. You're in paradise last week, yet you couldn't stop checking in on the show, which we appreciate, and something really ticked you off.
So you guys had a discussion. What team is most likely to have a Washington Commanders-like turnaround? The Washington Commanders went from terrible to the NFC title game. It's pretty huge turnaround. But I get it. It does happen in the NFL. And you went with the New England Patriots. Now, I understand that some other people are into the Patriots. You do this Lou Holtz thing where you overrate the AFC East opponents of the Buffalo Bills, your team. You do it all the time. You think the Dolphins are good. You think the Jets are good. And now you think the Patriots are good when they have stunk up the joint for 5 years. The Dolphins have stunk up the joint for 20 years. The Jets have stunk up the joint since 2011, was it? So you do this thing where you play up your opponent. There is no way the Patriots are making the AFC title game like the Washington Commanders. What team are you looking at? Yeah, Drake May is awesome, and Mike Vrabel is a good coach to get wins at the margins, but I just think that you're doing that thing you do with your AFC East opponents when Buffalo has won that division a million years in a row and will probably win it every year that Josh Allen is there.
Listen, I'm not saying that the Bills can't win the division. I mean, the Commanders didn't win the division. Your Philadelphia Eagles did. You don't have to win the division to go on a run like this. But you have Drake May, who's going to be in year two. You've got all the money in the world to spend if you're the New England Patriots. And by the way, this has shown at once upon a time, this was a very good ownership group, right? And I think Belichick at times probably held them back from spending even more than they probably would spend. You've got a proven coach in Mike Vrabel. Like, if you're asking me for a sleeping giant, I think that Drake May is really the reason. And I saw what they did. They almost beat my Bills with a team that was completely, you know, devoid of real offensive talent.
Yeah, they beat your Bills in the past with no talent, too. What difference did it make?
So you don't see that there's any positivity brewing with the Patriots at all? You're not a Drake May person.
No, I do. No, I see positivity brewing, but you're talking about like who's going like kind of worst to first, like has a chance to win their division, and I do not see the Patriots knocking off the Bills. I mean, they're 26 in Super Bowl odds. Like, I think that they're going to take a major step forward here, but a major step forward is nowhere near what Washington did, which I did not see either, so I could be wrong. Who's your second player on the Patriots? Like, who's this?
Christian Gonzalez.
Christian Gonzalez. Give me the third player. And by the way, Christian Gonzalez is a cornerback who's been in and out. give me the third player. Give me the skill player. Or give me the guy. Like, they're very devoid of talent. And you're right, they have a lot of money, but there's a lot of work to do there. And I'm not sure that they spend all that money right now because they're not close. Like, their timeline should be a slow build. And even though Mike Vrabel brings in high expectations, I hope they would be very patient with this team and Drake May, because they do not have a lot of talent. And they've let a lot of talent walk out the door on defense as well.
Yeah, but I think they have the high draft picks, you know. So what are they picking fourth, right? Patriots picking fourth, which means fourth in every round. They have all this money to spend. I think if they want to, like, kickstart this rebuild, do you get Drake May at T. Higgins? Do you do something, you know, if he's available he's tag and trade? I think it's possible to get this thing going in the right direction. Is there a DK Metcalf trade that's possibly in the works? Something like that. So, yeah. Do you have a counter? Do you have a team that you think will go and have a Washington Commanders-like run, or you just don't like my selection?
No, I didn't like your selection. No, I think the Commanders were such a fluke. But here's one thing about the Commanders that's different than what the Patriots will do. The Commanders loaded up on old talent. They were one of the oldest teams in the league. I think the Patriots could do what you're saying. But are they really going to go out and spend all this money on old guys to contend right now, knowing that Josh Allen's sitting there in Buffalo? I don't know in that division if that's their strategy. Like, what's their philosophy? Did you bring in a Mike Vrabel if you're Robert Kraft and say, go out, sign anybody you want, bring in T. Higgins, bring in DK Metcalf, bring in a bunch of old defensive players? I'm just not sure that that's how they're going to view the team. Washington went for it immediately. They brought in Cliff. I just don't know if the Patriots are going to do that. I think in the future, I think Drake May is going to give you a lot of headaches. I just don't think it's going to be this year. So it's not. I totally understand what you're saying, but I think that they're going to, if they're smart, do a slow burn.
They could. I mean, I think that you have an ownership group that's getting a little itchy here. I mean, they dumped Jerod Mayo after one season. This is a guy who they handpicked years ago to be Belichick's successor, and they got rid of him right away to bring in Vrabel. I think that you're seeing Robert Kraft. I think it's very important, maybe to his Hall of Fame candidacy. I don't know what's going on with the Patriots for him to win another title with no Belichick and no Brady. Because there's something, there's an antsiness that I feel coming out of New England with that ownership group. Well, I don't think they're, you know, fine with all the titles and then they're like, all right, we're just going to rest on our six Super Bowls.
I mean, listen, Kraft is also getting up there, maybe not a lot of time, but he's the second oldest owner in his own division behind Stephen Ross in Miami. I don't know, it doesn't seem like the Jerry Jones and Robert Krafts think about, like, oh, I need to do it right now. So we'll see. It's definitely an interesting team, and I do like Drake May as well. I just, when I saw that headline, I'm like, oh, that's too aggressive on the Patriots. And again, like, even in this segment, you're like, well, I saw the Patriots almost beat our Bills. Come on, the Patriots stunk last year, and that was with Jerod Mayo.
They beat the Bengals.
Yes, in week two, when it was like, come on, they stunk last year, and it's just a long road to see. And then again, I didn't see the Commanders last year, but still. I don't know. We should get to updates. Andrew Bogus. Notice neither of us said the Giants as a worst to first team.
Not possible. Could they be worst to third? I'll take that.
Worst to worst. Who's going worst?
Do you mean third in the NFC East?
Yeah, just move me up a spot.
You don't hear that segment enough on Sports Talk Radio. Who's going to go from worst to worst?
Honestly, the Giants and the Jets would be pretty good contenders. Can I update a poll question that Andrew Bogus gave to us off a news story that he gave us earlier in the show? And this one slipped by me, Bogus, so thanks so much for bringing it up, that it was the 40th anniversary of Bobby Knight throwing a chair famously across the court. And Indiana basketball, like, celebrated this. They have the chair. They kept the chair. Mike Woodson sat in the chair. They end up upsetting Purdue, so that's kind of fun. Put the poll question out. Big debate today. Should we celebrate the 40th anniversary of Bobby Knight throwing a chair? The options were yes, it's iconic. No, it's embarrassing. No, it's embarrassing is leading 53%. So not by a lot, but that's an embarrassing moment, not an iconic moment, slightly as the lead. You guys surprised by that?
Yeah, I thought there'd be more Perloff people who wanted chairs thrown. So I thought I was going to lose this debate.
Well, one thing, it's definitely iconic. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, everybody who knows anything about Bob Knight, that's kind of the first visual that comes to mind. Do we have... there is on camera him hitting Pat, whatever his name is.
Well, there's the weird, like, Neil Reed.
Neil Reed, right. Neil Reed. That's on camera, right? But
not
chair.
On TV camera. That's like on practice video, like, where it's grainy.
Oh, okay, right. The chair is just like... What's the one image you think of with Bob Knight? And I think it's the chair, or maybe the Keith Smart, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the chair does. It's like a cult hero, and I don't mind Indiana having it, and I wouldn't even mind if they just mentioned that yesterday was the fourth anniversary, and it was against Purdue then, and then that's who they played yesterday. But to like bring the chair out like it was a throne and place it there, yeah. Have Mike Woodson use it, but not throw it. And it was just weird.
Well, I think if Bob Knight hadn't done the other things like hit the kid, then we would have been more okay. Like Earl Weaver had these famous. The former Orioles manager had these famous outbursts, and now it's charming. As long as you don't hit a player, I think you're okay.
Yeah, like if he had like bent the legs of the chair out of anger, like great, funny, haha, mark that every single year. But he threw it at a referee. It just happened to not hit the referee in the shins.
Wait, bent the legs on the chair? No, what is he, Magneto? If he did something, how would he do that?
If he did something non-violent.
Well, he wasn't really throwing it at the official. I mean, he was throwing it into air. I mean, didn't hit the official.
It didn't, but I don't know that it was by design.
Isn't this like Tom Brady breaking a iPad on the sideline a little bit?
No.
No. He didn't throw the iPad at the official.
But we've had a million coaches.
Mike Carey, whoever his name is.
He didn't throw the chair at I just watched it. Like he wasn't really trying to hit the official. He's trying to throw it out of anger.
Also, a little benefit of the doubt here. Like Tom Brady, we don't have like 20 years of him throwing stuff. We have Bob Knight as a loose cannon. And he did it to intimidate people. And it definitely worked. He was an intimidating person who I don't think had to be as mean as he was to be as good of a coach as he was.
I don't know. It's again, I feel like you couldn't have half Bob Knight. You were either going to get that whole Bob Knight. There was no, he definitely had this weird personality where I don't think he could turn it on and off like that.
Right, but the full Bob Knight is why this moment is, like, to me, not something that created an awkward moment yesterday in celebrating it. If that was his lone thing, you'd have a whole different look at this. But when you tack on the more serious stuff, the dude was crazy, and you're making light of him being crazy.
Oh, I
also
see.
Where should the chair go? Is this like in a museum? Do you put it behind glass in Indiana? Like, how do you? I don't know what you do with the chair. I guess sit in it if you're Mike Woodson.
I mean, I think the chair is definitely historic. It definitely merits this kind of preservation. 100%.
I'm okay that they still have it. Letting Mike Woodson use it was weird yesterday.
I'm kind of surprised that some Indiana alum, right? Who's some of their big University of Indiana alums? Joe Buck, right? It's a big Indiana. Like, nobody ponied up for this at an auction. Like, hey, I paid $200,000. Yeah, Isaiah Thomas didn't want to pony up for the chair.
Oh, by the way, I'm watching. He did not throw it at the official. That is a total mischaracterization.
But again,
he missed it by 10 feet.
Because you're giving him credit for having control of a chair sliding across the floor.
I am. It's like bowling. The dude knew what he was doing. It did. Yeah, and by the way, it did hit some people in the audience, but it was going pretty slow at that point.
Oh, okay, good.
This is perfectly acceptable.
Just as he designed.
Yeah, thankfully.
Do you think there's
he put some backspin on it so it would die before the baseline.
But would most Hoosiers fans take this now compared to what the program's been?
I mean, they might take full-on assault these days. They want wins.
Yeah, I know.
This is going to be an interesting hire because we know Mike Woodson is out. So who's going to be the next head coach of Indiana?
You started off earlier in the show. Like, they're somewhat irrelevant now. I mean, it's not a premier hire anymore, is it?
Not really.
I still think it is. I do. I know. I don't think it's like the luster like head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I still think in college basketball circles, again, like Tom Crean did take them to a Sweet 16. It's not like they've been. I mean, it's been rough. I'm not going to lie, but I think it's still a marquee job.
It's a very good job. It's not like the tip top elitist of jobs. It's not Duke. But it's like on the next level down. But the problem is, like, that fan base is crazy. That, like, that's a hard job. Like, no one's happy. And it, no matter who you are, I guess unless you're Dan Hurley, like, winning at an obscene amount, an obscene rate is hard to do these days.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
No, you're right about that.
But we wouldn't have necessarily seen the success that Dan Hurley had at UConn coming. So maybe there's somebody like that.
Yeah, but I mean, they already had Brad Stevens, who was like the number one pie in the sky guy. He's no from him. Dusty May got a nice big fat extension at Michigan, so he's off that list. Like, does Mick Cronin come back from UCLA? Like, that's the kind of guy you're going to get. And not to knock him, but the idea of like they could pick whoever they wanted, maybe their top two guys have already taken themselves out of consideration.
Yeah.
Did you see Rick Pitino stumping for Chris Beard? to get
the job. Wow. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, but
there.
But he's got some baggage. But I mean, he's back already. He's coaching in the SEC. What can I tell you guys quickly? Yeah, go ahead.
Former interim coach Dan Dockich, who's now, think he could jump back in? I'm being half kidding.
I feel like, is Dan Dockich running for office?
Dan Dockich is the most polarizing person on radio. So I don't even know if he's on radio now. Like, he's a trip.
How about Doug Gottlieb?
How's he doing? How's he doing in Eastern Michigan?
Let's get Doug Gottlieb to be the coach of Indiana.
I mean, Doug would do it.
He will.
Can I tell you my favorite person now, my favorite player in the Big Ten? Well, I was watching over the weekend, Michigan State upsetting Michigan on Friday night. Jace Richardson, freshman, son of Jason Richardson. I feel like Perloff here that I'm a little late to the party on Jace Richardson, but in fact, he's been really turning it on over the last like five games or so. This dude is awesome. Big Jace Richardson fan, guys. I'm calling it now.
Big fan.
All right. Well, Bogues, can you hang on for a second? We left you absolutely no time for the update, so hold tight for a second. 855-212-4227. We're back with all the headlines in just a moment. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff is back from vacation, and it feels like all's right in the world, even though he had to deal with poisonous snakes, crocodiles, potential sunburn.
Yeah.
Fruit.
Could have been tainted fruit, but luckily everything was fine.
Okay. Total left turn. Andrew Brokers here. I did see a bunch of movies on two long plane rides, and I'm gearing up for Oscar season, as I know you are, Maggie. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of debates in the break about what should win the best picture. I say nothing. I say you go no award. Or like,
this is like the Hall of Fame where they baseball.
Yeah, all the talents and TV shows, like these movies, like, oh my God, like, give me a break.
I feel like we're a long way from the Barbie Oppenheimer thing where kind of everybody was seeing at least one of those two movies.
Barbie was a great movie.
And it became like a big cultural phenomenon. I don't think these movies have had that impact. Maybe the Bob Dylan movie with Timothy Chalamet, but.
And Wicked.
And I guess Wicked to a certain subset. Yeah.
But I mean, certain subset called anyone with access to a movie screen. What are you talking about?
I don't know, dude.
Wicked
is gigantic.
It's
based off a Broadway play. If you know,
yes, like
is that playing everywhere?
Yes, like people come from all over the country to watch Wicked. It's the longest running Broadway play.
Was it for women? Wasn't it more geared towards women? Or am I crazy?
You're crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
Wicked's like getting up there with Cats and Les Mis is the most successful play of all time. Yeah, it's and the movie couldn't possibly be bigger. But that being said, I don't think that's going to win. I don't think the Bob Dylan movie is going to win. I think it is the movie you guys were talking about, which I have not seen yet, called Anora. I think that's going to win.
Well, I put this in my stock down because it's a bad movie, but because the description of the movie did not accurately show what the viewer was in for with the gratuitous nudity. And
a nudie magazine day heads up.
Oh, Jesus. Nice. I mean, here's the thing. You don't have to give me like the plot twist if it's some kind of thriller, but you really are stretching if you're calling this a romance movie, which is what they did. This is not The Notebook here. This is a stripper meets a young Russian oligarch's
son. It's the Kama
Sutra version of The Notebook. Yeah, so I'm more close to that. I was like, wait a minute. I'm sorry, this is a romance? That's stretching the word romance.
I can't wait. I've seen none of these movies that are nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, no one has.
No one else has either.
Yeah, I mean, The Brutalist with Adrian Brody is basically the Seinfeld made fun of the artsy movie all the time, like Rochelle. It's like from Milan to Minsk. The Brutalist is like only a movie critic would see that movie. And that's got a shot to win the whole thing, too.
And the Demi Moore movie no one knew existed until she won a Golden Globe or something for it. Like, that was never. Yeah.
Because that wasn't in the theaters.
No.
I did love the Bob Dylan movie. Did you guys see that one?
Yes.
I'd be fine with that winning, but I don't know. It seems like everyone loves Anora, which I will see this week to weigh in on, especially now that
I know. Did everybody keep their clothes on in the Bob Dylan movie? Like, yeah. I'm not a prude here. It's not about that. It's just, you got to let people know what they're walking into a little bit. Anyway, Bogus, we shortchanged you last segment. Didn't get to the headlines. What's up, dude?
You know, most people are okay with extra nudity.
Yeah, by the way, it's like, well, we're not going to give it the Oscar time. Because the description on Amazon was inaccurate.
What big time.
Right.
There's also Dune Part 2. This is not Gaib.
Yeah, now all of a sudden I'm the one who's like the shrinking violet over to the side.
Yeah.
It's not that. You just got to, I don't know, don't you want to be prepped a little? That should have been NC-17.
Pour yourself a bottle of wine. I don't understand. What did you want to do to prep for Anora?
I would have picked a different movie. Yeah, I would have picked a different movie. Listen, I'm sick at home. I'm here at the home studios. Okay. I got tissues everywhere. This was just not the night where I was like, all right, let's watch some racy movie. It was like, no.
Wait. So you're right. Let's watch the movie about the brutalist, about an architect who escapes war-torn Europe, or Conclave, like basically a real-life story about succeeding the Pope. Or why don't we go to like...
Bounce, chicka, bounce, like, bounce.
What is it? Yeah. There's no upbeat movie. There's no Sidney Sweeney in a rom-com. What were you going to go with? I don't understand what your other choice was.
I did see that one.
There you go.
What's
just
that called?
Needed something a little lighter.
Anyone But You,
Anyone But You, Glenn Powell and Sidney Sweeney, that's what you should have watched. Have you watched that one?
I have not, but I wish I had, because I needed just something, maybe a couple jokes, maybe a little, you know how like when you're sick and you have comfort food? It's kind of like the same thing. I was looking for the chicken soup type of movie, and instead I got the thong movie or whatever.
Cisco loves that movie.
Yeah, the thong is what I got. And I was lucky if I got the thong, to be honest. Like
Were thongs, I can confirm. There were thongs.
It was
in that
pretty
movie.
Pretty racy. Yeah.
Wait,
pretty racy.
Help me out, Bogus. Was it racier than Poor Things with that got nominated last year with Emma Stone?
Poor Things was weirder than Anora. I couldn't, you know, if you're talking about like just screen time of thongs, I don't know who had more of that. But Poor Things was weird. Yeah. But I didn't leave it going, why didn't you tell me Emma Stone was going to be naked in this movie? Like, Maggie seems to be upset that she got a heads up on Anora.
Somebody, I mean...
Well,
give me
listen, you clearly...
Send up a flare. I mean, sheesh.
You were feeling a little under the weather. You should have gone with something a little more easy to watch. The nominees, like, how about I'm Still Here, the political biographical drama. Yeah, this is looks like... was nominated. It looks like the worst time ever. A mother and an activist coping with the forced disappearance of her husband. Oh, there we go. That makes me feel better. There's no good movies for you when you're sick.
I should have watched something
else. You wanted like Airplane or something like that, right?
I did actually suggest to my husband, I'm like, should we watch an older movie? Like maybe go back and watch one that we missed, you know, like from the 70s or, you know, Jack Nicholson. I don't know. Let's watch Chinatown again. Or I don't know. Yeah. Just something.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of the Anora, I was like, oh, man. So now I'm depressed. I just watched a lot of topless, bottomless women.
As our audience is about to do after this show, like Manny and Alex had no interest in Anora, and now all of a sudden it's like to-do list, rent Anora tonight.
I am 2 feet in.
I'm going to be honest, I've probably done more publicity for this movie than anyone.
Yeah, there's too much.
They didn't tell me beautiful women were going to be naked this whole movie. Those.
You know what? But just so you know, it sets you up for the gut punch at the end.
Yeah, it's a heavy movie.
Bogus, let's get to updates.
Yeah, I got a password you can share happily.
No, let's not do updates. Let's add some spoilers in there. Why not? Thank you. What is going on here? Why did you drop that spoiler at the end of the show? You didn't even let Bogus do his updates.
I hope they weren't sponsored, were they?
Of course not. By Anora in theaters now.
But just
don't bring your grandma. Thanks, Manny and Alex and Bogus and Kaplan. See you tomorrow.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.